Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Thursday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, lots of pre-owned inventory, great selection, I might add. And a great service department that is there to get it done for your vehicle with the diagnostics, with the inspections, with the routine maintenance, with it all. And a great sales staff that is not just there for the sale, but they're there to make sure you get a good deal. All part of the Sunbury Motors guarantee. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Jerry Dulac today from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Steelers Radio Network at 4:35. I cannot wait to get his take on this whole live PGA situation. And, of course, we'll get into the U.S. Open with him because, of course, well, first round is officially underway. So we'll get into that with him and more coming up at 4:35 today. At the leaderboard right now, Colin Tarin and David Lingermuth, Rory McIlroy, and a couple others tied for first right now with 3 under par, all very early. John Rahm is 1 under. He's tied for 12th. Adam Scott also 1 under. Bryson DeChambeau, one of the notable new LIV players, he is 1 under right now. Xander Schauffele's even. That's tied for 25th. Scottie Scheffler also even at that spot. Dustin Johnson, same thing. Even par, tied for 25th. Looking to see if Phil Mickelson has teed off yet. Jordan Spieth is 2 over par at the start. Patrick Cantlay's 2 over par. Louis Oosthuizen's 2 over par as well. Horschel's 3 over par. Sergio Garcia 3 over par. Jim Furyk 3 over. I guess Phil Mickelson hasn't teed off yet. We're still pretty early on, so we'll keep you up to date on that. I do want to go locally for a second. We have the PIAA Softball and Baseball Championships happening out at Penn State. And we had a doubleheader today locally. Montgomery winning the opening game against DuBois Central Catholic in the 1A Championship 5-1. That's the first state title ever for the Red Raiders. Congratulations to Montgomery. And congratulations to the Lewisburg softball. They dropped their 4A Championship game today to Avonworth 7-2. Had a 2-0 lead, but things kind of unraveled for them in the fifth inning. But that is still a tremendous run that Lewisburg softball has had. That was the furthest they've ever gone to in program history as well. So that team made a lot of strides this year. So big congratulations to Lewisburg softball for their incredible run, even despite the 7-2 loss today to Avonworth. And then tomorrow at 4:30 at Medler Field at LeBron O Park, we have Sealands Grove. Boy. We'll be in your neck of the woods, Steve, taking on Bethel Park, the defending 5A champs tomorrow.
Good luck to them. Remember when Sealands Grove won here a couple of years ago?
Yeah. It'll be the second time in 4 years if they can get the dub tomorrow.
It'd be great. Good. Great ballpark to watch a game.
Absolutely.
Well, massive disappointment for you.
In terms of?
Phil Mickelson walked to the tee and they gave him a huge ovation.
I was mildly surprised about that.
Well, I don't understand why. I tried to explain this the other day. Do you listen to the show?
I do.
Okay, I tried to explain this the other day. And that Mickelson is beloved by his fan base. Yeah, I mean, I've been out there. I've seen it. Like, these people don't like him. They love him.
I get it, but you don't have just Mickelson fans there, so that's why I thought you'd still maybe hear a smattering of booze.
Nope. Practice rounds. He's out there in the practice rounds. He was signing autographs, doing all sorts of stuff.
He's 2 over right now, by the way. I mentioned he didn't tee off yet. I was wrong. He's 2 over right now.
He's 52. He's not going to win this. The fact that he won the PGA last year at 50, a month away from his 51st birthday, was an unbelievable. There's a reason why he's the only one to ever do it. You know he's the only one to ever do that,
Yeah, I get
right?
it. I get all that. I just thought there would be still be a smattering of booze considering today's culture and the matter of which is he's in the middle of.
Today's culture what? See,
To criticize quickly.
Over the years, but that's the Twitter verse. That doesn't, you know what? The less that matters, the better we're all off. Okay?
I agree.
What have we noticed over and over again? Right? And this is tough in our neck here. All right? But, what's become interesting to me is there is a massive disconnect between what the media cares about and what the fans care about. In almost everything we do now. And we see it nationally in politics. We see it sometimes in sports. Where what they get, you're like, well, yeah. Now, sometimes it lines up. I think name, image, and likeness concerns line up with what the fans are concerned about. Transfer portal lines up with what fans are thinking as well. Okay, that's in alignment. But there's a lot of stories where it doesn't line up. And this may be one of them where the fans are like, I don't care what happened. I'm going to go out. Phil's playing. I'm going to, Phil never gets a chance to play in Boston. Am I going to go out there and boo him? No. I mean, you can tell me I'm wrong.
No, everybody has their own right to boo or not boo somebody. I would boo him, but I understand why people don't boo him.
Yeah, but you would have booed him anyway. You don't like him.
Exactly.
You're somebody who's, let's face it, consumed with hate. yikes. Again, I explained this the other day. If you are a fan of Phil Mickelson, and this is just from my own observation in being at various tournaments over the years, covering various tournaments, you walk out there, they don't like them. They love them. Now, are there a group of fans out there that could care less about them? Of course there are. But the people that are pro-Phil love Phil. They're not out there to watch, they're not just out there to watch Phil and say, boy, he's one of the greatest golfers of the recent generation. I've got to go see him. No. Like, his fans, are really his fans. So I'm not surprised they reacted that way. Plus, do you go to a golf tournament, unless it's Bethpage, Do you go to a golf tournament with the idea that you're going to carry signs and boo the guy? No. And there really hasn't been any... reaction to the fans at all. Now, did you hear the John Rahm story?
That I didn't.
You'll love this. So Rahm hits... Rahm finishes with a 69. He struggled with his 7-iron all day. He's kind of like, okay, he's fighting it. And, you know, and we know Rahm has a little bit of a temper. Okay, that's fine. That happens. All right. But he's... for the most part, to his credit, is handled himself. And he handled himself well all day, even though you knew he was mad at himself. Not mad at anybody else. He's mad at himself. And he gets to 18, and he hooks it off the tee, but he hooks it 301 yards. You're like, okay, great. It's wonderful. And he's going down to get the ball. And these two kids come by, and they picked up, they stole the ball.
Whoops.
And ran off with the ball.
Oh, now, my almighty!
Now, Rahm, now, of course, because they knew where it was, they allowed Rahm a free drop. It turned out he got the drop in an area where it had been kind of worn down a little bit by foot traffic. He's only 135 yards out, free lane, boom, popped it in there. 21 feet from the hole, knocked in the putt and got the birdie. He says, I did see the two that ran off with it. You see, you just tell it was them. You'll probably see them tonight at the Garden screaming how much they hate Draymond Green.
Hey, guess what, Draymond? We got John Rahm's ball.
That wouldn't surprise me.
They'll be the same two kids. Be the same tip. Stole his ball. You're like, what are you doing?
Man, I hope the Warriors win tonight.
Oh, I could.
I think they're going to. Objectively, I think they're going to.
They could. The key of the game is now. Obviously, the Celtics will need good performances from Tatum, Brown, and Smart, especially Tatum. But if they keep the turnovers under 16 and play off at 2 feet, then you know the Celtics give themselves a better shot at winning. And that's what it comes down to, because they are 1-7 in games where they have. In the playoffs, 1-7 in games where they have 16 turnovers or more. They're too often leaving their feet, don't know where they're going, or playing off 1 foot, which is, you know, almost the equivalent of leaving 2 feet. When they play off at 2 feet, they're efficient and smart, and if they do that tonight, they'll beat the Warriors. The one area that the Celtics cannot count on, though, is they cannot count on Steph Curry having an overnight in shooting threes. I mean, that's where the Celtics blew it the other night. They blew it the other night because they got handed a gift and didn't take advantage of it. The last thing anybody expected in Game 5 was Steph Curry going 0-for-3. 0-for-3-pointers, I should point out. I think it was 0-for-6, I think, in the game or some number. That's a gift. Something like that happens, and he only scored 12 points. You have to take advantage of that. That is a recipe for Golden State to lose, and they won the game. And if the Warriors do win, that'll be the pivotal one right there that you look at. Celtics win tonight, then Game 7 is Sunday night in Boston, in Golden State, without the two kids who stole Jan Rahm's ball. We stole John Rahm's ball. Yeah. It's like the two kids that stole the ball when Will Chamberlain got to 100. You know that story, right?
I do.
Yeah. These are your people. These are your people. And you just want Golden State to win tonight because I hate you. You could care less about Golden State.
I want them to stomp all over the Celtics tonight. I would just love to see it. So their stupid fans can go home crying, "Oh, no, we got stomped on," or whatever their stupid accent is up there.
You mean the organization that had 8 more playoff wins than your team?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
All right, I guess we do have U.S. Open updates today. We also have Dave Bauer today, Jerry Dulac today, right? All right, as we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
And a high fly ball to deep right field. Did he do it? Did he do it? He did it! It's a 3-run walk-off home run for Garrett Stubbs! What an amazing time to launch his first walk-off home run. The Phillies win it here in the bottom of the ninth inning, 3-1. He was down to his final strike.
Tommy McCarthy, the Phillies are just playing exciting baseball. I don't know, it's a Marlins, does it count? But, you know, but still.
Actually, it does because the Phillies can't beat the Marlins until this series. Every
amazing
Phillies fan was wondering if that fluke, if that was a fluke streak or not, until they beat the Marlins and they beat them 2 out of 3. Should have swept them, really.
Great, great streak by. But how about the Yankee game last night?
Oh, the umpires? Yeah, that was just embarrassing beyond
minutes?
Belief.
17
yes.
minutes?
It was ridiculous.
Do you want to know what happened during the 17 minutes?
Nothing. The umpires were wrong.
People switched over to the Stanley Cup playoff and said, "Wow, people are actually moving."
If I would have done the same thing, if I'd have the Yankee game on my phone and the Stanley Cup game on my TV last night.
Like, people are moving and skating. It's exciting.
It's just ridiculous. And guess what? Boone was right for once. Knew the rules. It was actually playing the game the way it's supposed to.
But
shocking.
30 seconds later, go the heck with it, move on. That's what you got to do.
They had to call over to the headquarters, too. It's just...
They're watching the Oakland Red Sox game. They weren't even watching that game.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory. With the Sunbury Motors guarantee and a fabulous service department that takes care of everything from routine oil changes, inspections, diagnostics. They can handle it all. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Phil, by the way, was even cheered at Marion outside of Philadelphia. Your people. Them.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I mean, you had Phillies fans yesterday boo the walk-off yesterday because the game was over. No, I want to stay longer. I'm just kidding. Basketball. Maryland, Rutgers, Illinois, Michigan, Nebraska, Purdue, Wisconsin. Penn State plays them home and away. The one plays here will be Indiana, Iowa, and Michigan State. The one plays on the road will be Ohio State, Minnesota, and Northwestern. There you go. You doing okay? I know you're mad.
I'm good.
17-minute delay angered you. The fact the Warriors haven't closed out the Celtics yet angered you. The fact that fans actually applauded when Phil stepped to the tee angered you.
I would say the latter is probably the most accurate.
Angered you. Furious.
I was just laughing at the umpires the whole time because how stupid they looked. And just seeing their faces still looking confused as they're telling Kevin Cash, this is what the ruling is, and even telling Aaron Boone, who knew all along what he could do.
I mean, but solve it in 30 to 45 seconds. Move on.
Yes.
Let's go. Okay, the game's slow enough.
And it actually was moving right along until that point. Yeah. A lot of Yankee games lately have been moving pretty quickly because the pitching's been so good.
Yeah. So, there you go. It's, that's the story. That's what they got. 17 minutes in a game that doesn't move. Like, let's go. I love baseball. Stop getting in the way. Stop getting in the way. I mean, honestly, to me, that is a... If I'm in Major League Baseball, I don't know what the contract says with the umpires. That is either a suspendable or a finable offense. You don't stop the game for 17 minutes. You don't stop it for 17 minutes. Just make a decision. Go. Move. All right. Let's bring in Nate Bauer on 3.com, Blue White Illustrated. Sir, always a pleasure. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Do not let me start talking about that.
You don't seem enamored with it.
I have some issue with how it's being portrayed.
And how's it being portrayed that you don't like?
Well, even the CEO, commissioner, executive director of the USGA, who was asked yesterday whether or not he supports families of 9/11.
Right. No, I understand.
And it's like, what are we doing here? You know, do I love that golf as a sport is splitting up? No, I don't.
That's right.
Right? Like,
I agree.
You wish it was better that things had been worked out to, and maybe there is room for both. I'm not really sure, but I just have this massive hang up over the notion that, like, that we all don't trade in dirty money to a certain extent. You know, like that's.
Well,
I don't know.
This is. You want to know the ironic part of all this? Is the backdrop for it. The backdrop for it is the country club in Brookline. We're an amateur. Francis Ouimet beat Ted Ray and Harry Vardon in 1913 to win the U.S. Open in a playoff. An amateur who never turned pro. And all they've done 109 years later at the same venue is talk about money.
Yep.
That's the irony.
I don't know. Look. There is a reality that all golf in right the Masters, Augusta National. I mean, it is steeped in problem. Right?
Like, oh, sure.
There are so many layers of problematic elements to the game of golf, but. This idea that Liv and its golfers, the people who are going to do this, are in some way worse than the rest. You know what I mean? Like they're just oh my goodness, these people are so bad because they're accepting dirty money. It's like, oh man, like what? There's just a lack of acknowledgement at how much other stuff is also bad.
Yeah.
About the rest of the sport.
Bummer, Patrick Reed's not going to Hartford. Okay.
I'll get over it. I'll get over that.
Okay, kind of wounded, got my ticket. See you. All right, so this is a slow time in terms of news. I want to start with the basketball part of it because you wrote a column on the veterans and what they mean. I just saw and talked briefly with Seth Lundy on Sunday, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
So the learning curve
is still there for the coaching staff in terms of because they got 5 freshmen coming in and some transfers, but not as extensive because they have other people that know their system. What does that mean for the coaches?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Micah Shrewsbury said that exactly, right, or has said it a couple of times this summer, is, look, there is a massive difference between the coaching staff running a practice in which every single element of that practice has to be demonstrated first by one of the coaches so that everyone is able to pick it up versus, hey, Seth Lundy knows how to run that drill now, right? Like, right. Miles Dredd knows how to run that drill. Jalen Pickett knows how to run that drill. Dalian Johnson knows how to run that drill. And so when, there are 8 new faces, like, that is a massive influx into the program between 3 transfers and 5 true freshmen. But every single one of those guys can rest assured that the guy in front of the line, the guy that's at the front, that runs through a drill first, is going to know what they're doing and can be emulated. And that will be a, right? Like, it's just a good, solid foundation from which they can start to build this summer. And honestly, it starts right now. The veterans are back as of last weekend, and the newcomers are coming in this coming weekend. So they're going to get into that 8 weeks of, kind of off-season informal work that they're allowed to have during the summer access period and go from there.
All right, the football part, they've got, slowly but surely guys have been coming in. Yep. The guys are scheduled to start the second 6-week semester, which will be at the end of this month. They'll get to do that. What are they allowed to do right now, just to update everybody on what they're allowed to do and what they can't do?
Yeah, so they have all but with the – there were 6 arrivals, I believe, last weekend, which means that there are 2 remaining from in terms of transfers and the class of 2022. So only 2 left to come in. The second summer semester academically starts on Wednesday, June 29th. But this is kind of a change, and it's been for the last Steve. You probably know better than me. 8 years, maybe 7 years, when they started to implement this change. But it seems to me as though Penn State is working to get these guys in sooner and sooner and sooner.
Right.
Where it's within the rules now to allow these newcomers to the program to get to campus in some cases multiple weeks before the start of that academic calendar. So now, instead of showing up on Sunday the 26th, Sunday the 26th and then going to class on the 27th and starting football all at the same time, you get them in on June 6th or May 31st and can run through, right? Like, they're allowed to practice. They're allowed to go through the team's informal workouts. Chuck Losey, the strength and conditioning coordinator for the program now, has them, right? Yeah. Like, these guys are here. They're, Danai Dennis Sutton walking through the Lash Building yesterday. I saw him. I was actually on campus for an interview yesterday. The ramping up period has extended to where you can actually have an acclimation period and a time where these guys can get used to things well before the start of preseason camp.
And they also will have Live for Life, which will be June 30th. And the fans will be allowed to, buy tickets and go to it. And again, another step in the sense of normalcy.
Yeah, I love that, honestly. I mean, of all the things, right? You've been around this for a long time. I've been around this for at this point a long time as well. And Live for Life was just kind of this unofficial summer wind up to where things are going, right? Like, it always happened over Arch Fest. It's happening a little bit earlier this year. But it's a chance for fans in between the period and the media, honestly, in between the blue-white game and preseason camp to kind of get a glimpse of where these guys are. And, the bottom line is progress happens slowly but surely. And you can start to see those things happen, right? Like the way a guy looks at the blue-white game versus the way he looks in the bowl, for instance, can be very different. But even more so, the way that he looks from the blue-white game until Lift for Life can be even more different. You know, these guys pounding their pasta and chicken and all of those different things to make these kind of noticeable gains or, in some cases, weight loss, right, to their bodies that happens over the offseason.
The NCAA, by the way, is looks like more and more like it's unlikely to approve college football transfer windows this week. Because, again, what are they worried about? They're worried about being sued.
Yep.
And by the way, you can't enter the transfer portal now, but there are still players in the transfer portal that haven't been picked up yet. What do you think they need to do with the transfer portal? Do they need more specific windows, shorter windows? I mean, how does it need to operate?
It's a great question.
I try not to ask bad ones.
No, I know. Because I've been considering this, and not specific to the transfer portal or the windows, but just in general what the NCAA's role is moving forward, right? Because it was supposed to, like, this is in what it is in practicality versus what it is that everyone thinks it is are very different things, because it is quite literally a group of itself making the rules, right? It's no different. It's like the NFL has owners and then a commissioner who more or less implements what owners agree upon.
Right.
Well, that's what Mark Emmert is. That's what the NCAA is. It's a group of university presidents who, you know, have the approval of their boards, who get together and instruct Mark Emmert or the head of the NCAA on what to do. And so my question now is, how do they enact anything without being sued? And they can't, right? Like, I don't know how they put that toothpaste back in the tube to where players will become comfortable or accepting of restrictions that are going to be put on them by the NCAA. But that said, it doesn't change the fact that for the, for lack of a better word, the sanctity of the game, for any type of fairness or, making sense of what the calendar looks like, there need to be times of the year where you can say, okay, this is when this is going to happen. And we expect everyone to be able to make their decision, right? Like a post-football season transfer period and then a post-spring practice transfer period, for instance.
Exactly. Same thing.
But we'll see. I don't know. I mean, I just don't know how they implement that and actually do it without it being pushed back upon and sued.
All right. What's interesting is I want to say it was The Athletic put together a look at all the Power 5 transfers this past season. So ones that went from low major to Power 5, went from mid major to Power 5, and went Power 5 to Power 5. The vast 2/3 of them didn't do as well. And this, by the way, is not an unusual trend. Right? It's amazing how everybody thinks the grass is greener. The fans think the grass is greener, but the reality doesn't match up with it. And you and I have watched it.
Yep.
I mean, for every Arnold Ebiketie, there are five guys in other places that didn't do well.
Yeah. My question is, look, you have these handlers / agents that that's all legal now. That's all permissible. At what point do they start stepping in to say, hey, I know you think this is a good option, but you're better off sticking with it. You're right. Like, you're better off not going that route, because when you do, you're going to find that, you know, options that you think you might have or that you believe you're going to have. Because, look, like, you see the glamour of some of these high profile guys who have their pick. They can go wherever they want. That's fine. But that's not what college football is. That is not the foundation of college football. Foundation of college football is this wide swath of the middle. And the middle, who hasn't distinguished themselves, who haven't had an opportunity, more often than not, are going to earn that opportunity or have a better chance to earn that opportunity by staying with the program that they're at. Because the coaching staffs are familiar with them, that they have established something of a record. So, yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting trend that while it frustrates fans, it has turned into more of a way to call the roster. You know, to actually, okay, see ya. That's all right. You know,
take good care.
We'll move on. Yeah.
Good luck to you. We wish you well.
Yep.
And that's, you know, that's that. What's interesting is that they move toward 4-year scholarships. And the guy I always use because it's just easy to say. Now, look, Penn State has a guy now, Michael Henn, who has moved around to various locations.
Sure.
But Charlie Moore, Cal, Kansas, DePaul, Miami. He played here in December. He was on his fourth team.
Yep.
I'd like to know what his academic progress report looks like. And what does it do to culture? Everybody talks about their culture. You're always introducing new cultures into your culture all the time.
Yep. But I think that's something that Penn State football specifically has tried to hang on to, and to a certain extent, to be honest with you. I mean, basketball was forced into
they had no choice.
A tough situation last year.
Yeah, they had no choice. They lost an entire recruiting class. They had three guys verbally committed, and they were all gone. So, yeah, Micah didn't have any choice.
Correct. But it's changed, though, right? Now, in year two, basketball is able to have a roster full of players who this is what they want. This is their choice. This is the place that they want to be. It's not the last resort. It's not any of that. And I think that football is pretty much in the same place, right? Like you are trying to use the transfer portal as not this option to bring in 20 seniors and juniors, right? Where you're just gonna take a broad approach and try to make yourself older as fast as you possibly can. Penn State football is working on building from the ground up. They want all of those, they want to continue to have strong 25-man recruiting classes. And then as things play themselves out and inevitably somebody goes somewhere else or somebody leaves early for the NFL or something unexpected, an injury, what have you, happens, you're okay. Like you can use the transfer portal, find players that fit on a 1-year basis, maybe two or three, in the rare exceptions, and then utilize that, and make it to your advantage. But you know they're pulling in four, right? Four transfers this offseason. I think Michigan State's pulling in 18, 20.
They had 20 last year. 15 were FBS, 5 were FCS. This year they brought in 8. But they lost 24.
Crazy. It's crazy.
I've been doing a lot of pre-work, so.
There you go. Okay.
That's the only reason why I know. Like a dope, I sat there and counted.
I'm trying to stay on top of it. It's tough to do. There's so much movement.
Well, no, I do a lot of pre-work this time of the year, Nate, for both football and basketball. And you got to spend a lot of time on, you know, where guys are going. Grandison just transferred from Illinois to Duke. Well, that's okay. Matthew Meyer transferred from Baylor to Illinois. So, you know, he's out. He's in.
Yep.
And then you got to do research on Meyer. So, oh, well. Hey, it's fine. It's the adjustment you have to make. Hit them straight and hit them far.
I will. I can't wait. Yeah. Got to get back out there.
You haven't been out there?
It's been a little bit. Coaches versus cancer was good.
Yeah. No, I did something dumb, so I had a ball above my feet, took out a 6-iron, hitting a second shot into 13 on the blue course, went too low, ground was hard, and really my middle finger kind of probably
still no good.
Stretched or sprained some ligaments.
Oh. Oof.
No, believe me, age plays a role, Nate, in recovery. Age plays a role. Just doesn't seem to bounce back like 30 years ago.
I'm worried. I'm worried about that.
Oh, don't worry about it. I'm fine. You know, you'll get the same age. You'll, you know, better shape, all set to go.
Let's hope. We'll see.
Modern medicine, by the time you get to be my age, it'll be nothing.
Okay.
They'll run a laser over you. You'll be finished.
I love your optimism. I'll take it.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Right. Thanks so much for having me.
Nate Bauer on 3.com, Blue White Illustrated. Play-by-play call of the day. We'll start our next half hour here on ESPN Radio.
Again, applause for Phil all over the place. You seem angry.
Yeah, good for him.
We need to get you a t-shirt. That just has some angry saying on it. My favorite teams are none. I hate everybody.
There you go.
Just root for the team that wins. That way you always go home happy. A message from this station, The Suit, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.